We're getting into Luke 10. We're going to talk about the Good Samaritan. We are in this series, the parables, the greatest stories ever told. The greatest stories ever told have to be told by the master storyteller himself, Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. When you understand the Good Samaritan, we've already talked about the prodigal son on Father's Day, and here you have the Good Samaritan. Probably, all right, I don't have the stats, but probably these are the two most preached on or talked about parables that come from Scripture would be the prodigal son, which we've already talked about, and today is the Good Samaritan. And to understand the depth of what this is, folks, I really want you to understand this, and I want you to get this. Luke 10, come on, let's ask God to bless our time this morning. Father, we are amazed by you, and we thank you for our time in your presence and worship. God, we thank you for that time that refreshes us. We thank you for the time that gives us great rest and peace. God, that time in worship that just rebuilds and reboots our faith. God, it's a connection that we have with you. God, sometimes we come in so beaten down. Sometimes we come in so discouraged. But God, in your presence, there is life. And in your presence, there is healing. And in your presence, there is peace. And in your presence, there is a sense of refreshment. And God, we thank you for that. God, we hope that we have honored you thus far with our tithes and our offerings. We hope that we've honored you thus far in our sense of worship of you and adoration of you. God, now, Father, I'm asking that you would speak to us. God, that you'd come to us through your word. By your Holy Spirit, God, you would pinpoint this message to our hearts today. God, we come to you ready to hear from you. On purpose, God, we're here. God, that you would speak to us today. Open our eyes to see. Open our ears to hear. God, open our hearts to respond. Folks, I ask that you would ask God this morning, God, speak to me today. God, please speak to my heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, Luke 10. I want to zip through this whole thing, and I'm going to start to break this thing down, and I want you to see it. Come on, verse 25 says this, and a lawyer stood up and put him to the test. See, you can go to the parable. The parable actually starts in verse 30. But you got to read before it and to see why Jesus even told this great story. What was his purpose in telling the story of the Good Samaritan? And that actually starts in verse 25. A lawyer, this lawyer is a sold out, strict Jew. He's part of the Pharisee, quite possibly a scribe or a lawyer. These are the ones who write law, who understand law, who meditate on law, who teach law. This is one who understood as one who is in the church, functioning in the church, and he is one who is understanding full what law means. And this is important when you see this. And a lawyer stood up, putting him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now listen. When you understand right off the bat, when you go through and you see how the lawyers or the scribes or the Pharisees or the Sanhedrin or whatever it was tried to always continually press Jesus and put Jesus to the test. Listen, it wasn't like they were best friends. It wasn't like he was a fan of Jesus. They are trying to come against Jesus to try to trip him up in wording in regards to law. Listen, they know so much. They know everything about the law. These were the writers of the law. So here, constantly not being a fan of Jesus, he comes, and you can read it over and over in Scripture, where they tried to test Jesus. They came against Jesus, even tried to embarrassing him publicly. And you'd think, man, you'd think they'd get it after a while when Jesus would just simply ask a question. One question that would trump the very best of them. But again, apparently this one didn't learn his lesson, and he says this, and a lawyer stood up, put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "What is written?" I love how Jesus answers to the question. "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" Speaking to one who writes the law. This is important. And he answered and said this, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "How do you answer correctly? Do this and you will live." He says, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." Now, verse 29, here again, the lawyer continues to press, wishing to justify himself. He said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" I want you to see this. He asked Jesus a question to test Jesus, try to trip up Christ, who is all knowledgeable, all powerful, who is God in the flesh. He says, "How do I inherit eternal life?" He says, "Do the law." He says, "Okay, well, the law is this, to love God with all heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love my neighbor." And Jesus says, "Good, you do that and you'll live." But you got to understand this. Being a strict Jew, the only ones that they were neighborly to were other Jews. Non-Jews, He had no sense, no compassion for a non-Jew. This is serious. Jesus knows this. And he simply says this. Verse 29, this is the lawyer wishing to justify himself. I love how he even went a little further. Trying to justify himself, coming to a place that he's not willing to acknowledge anyone who's non-Jew as a neighbor. So here he's trying to justify himself. And now when you understand that, you understand the premise of where the Good Samaritan comes in. You understand the depth of this parable. Well, Jesus is speaking to a higher up in the church. Jesus is speaking up to the lawyer who is a scribe, who is the writer of the law, who's come to test Jesus. And Jesus comes with this simple question. And then he's trying to justify himself because he knows. How am I supposed to love my neighbor if they're non-Jewish? We have nothing to do with them. Specifically, Samaritans were half-breeds, half-Gentile, half-Jewish, and here the Samaritans were like puke, literally like puke in the mouth of those who were true, strict Jews. They had nothing to do. They were lower than dirt. And here Jesus knows all this, and look at how he sets this up to very loudly, through an amazing story, punch this lawyer in the face. This is fantastic. Look at this, verse 30. Jesus says this, and Jesus replied and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, which means this man who's going down is probably a Jew, who fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And you got to understand, so there are times that parables are absolutely made up stories, but there's times that Jesus may use something that could be of truth to put into the story in regards to where it says that he was a man from Jerusalem to was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jerusalem is up here. Jericho is down here. There's a difference in sea level. So they understand this. He has to walk down. And when you understand that there is this very narrow, rocky road that these men will identify with this path that Jesus is specifically talking about, that is notorious for robbers and thieves, for men to get tuned up and for men to be stolen from. So here, this is a part of the story that they can very much relate to as truth. So here we go to this. He says this. There was a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him for half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road, and he saw him, and he passed by on the other side. Likewise, the Levite also, when he came to that place, saw him pass by on the other side, but a Samaritan. I can imagine. Please hear this. When he's talking to the lawyer, and he mentions a Samaritan, like the hair on the back of his neck on that lawyer probably stood up. And listen, there was a serious hatred, folks. A bitterness, a hatred between those who were 100% strict Jews and those who were half-breed Jews. There was a bitterness. You've got to understand. It's amazing that Jesus puts the Samaritan in here where I could see the lawyer just begin to cringe. Who was on a journey, came up. Now look at this. Came up and he saw him. He felt compassion. And he came to him, bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast or his horse or his donkey and brought him to the inn and took care of him. And on the next day, he took the 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you. Which of these, here's Jesus now speaking to the lawyer, which of these do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed mercy toward him. Jesus says to him, go and do the same. Folks, when you look at this parable, there's such a depth to this parable. And he's speaking to those who quite possibly could have issues with another. And when Jesus says simply, go and do the same. This is a serious instruction from our Master and our Lord that we are to take this and do just like the priest or the Levite, or do just like the Samaritan. And here you had, and listen, it wasn't a one-way street. It wasn't like the Jews disliked the Samaritan. Samaritans equally hated the Jews as well. So when you see this raging battle of a serious hatred between two groups, and Jesus puts the Samaritan on a level that says we're supposed to be like him and not like the other two that might represent the lawyer. Because a priest and the Levite, they were both servants of the church. Possibly Jesus is making it clear where the temple was in Jerusalem. Quite possibly you see this amazing picture of the priest and the Levite probably coming from work in the temple. That's like you and I leaving this place today, coming from our place of worship, coming from our place where we just were fed the scripture, except these were the ones. The Levite was probably the worship leaders. The priests were probably the ones who were bringing the message. So it's that type of quality where you've got these two men who are leaving the temple service. Just one probably got done preaching. The other one probably just got done leading the people in worship. Servants of the temple just leaving the temple. And they see this man. Now I want you to see this. Look at this. They see this man laying on the side of the road, beating, bleeding, battered so badly, hear this, that he was left for dead. He was half dead. He was on his way out, folks. That's how badly he was beaten. And you look at this picture that Jesus sets up. And I love this. I want you to see this, please. Verse 33, but a Samaritan who was on a journey came to him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. So what's it mean, folks? He felt compassion. So I ask myself the question, well, you had the priest and you had the Levite. They saw the same scene. They walked down the same road. What did they feel? What did they feel towards this man? Folks, when you understand that there are so many times that we have people before us in our lives that are in such a shape of this beaten man, that such a shape that it may not be a physical blood battle beating. It may be an emotional beating. It may be something that they have just been so pressed down. It could be something the enemy has just gotten a grip and a hold in their life, and it's just tearing them to pieces. What happens when God opens your eyes to this? What happens when you cross paths with people that you know are such in a place that even spiritually they're half dead, emotionally they're half dead, even physically they're half dead? What do we do, folks? What is it that we feel? You see, the first two, you've got the priest and you have the Levite. They has a serious, serious lost opportunity. A lost opportunity. Folks, how many times? I mean, and I'm telling you, man, going over this parable over and over and over, there's times that I remember, man, you missed that opportunity to serve. You missed that opportunity to encourage. You miss that opportunity, whether it's in the mall or whether it's out to dinner or whether it's somebody recognizes or whether it's somebody who needs prayer or whether, and you just, so many times, folks, that we can so fit right in the priest and the Levite, whether we are just honestly heartless, that we really don't feel compassion, or I think at times we might feel compassion, but we just come to a place that we're just too busy. Man, I look at this, and there's so many times that even in my own life, I'm looking to go, man, I miss that. Like an hour has passed, and you're like, you should. What was wrong with you, Sean? Why didn't you? Why didn't you act on that? Why didn't you move on that? Why didn't you go encourage that person? Why didn't you offer prayer to that person? And I'm telling you, man, this is an occurrence that takes place in my own life that I'm just like, man, you missed that. And you just, honestly, you just don't get that back. When you miss an opportunity, folks, so many times you never get it back. And here's the case with the priest and the Levite. Whatever their issue was, whether they looked, and this was a fellow brother of theirs. That's the kicker of this thing. This was a fellow brother of theirs. Whether they really honestly had absolutely no heart, or they just looked and said, I have been serving all day, and I'm tired, and I'm just way too busy, and I just need to get home. I think that can fit in the bill so many times for us that we are just so busy and at times so tired. And when that person is right in front of you or you're passing paths with people that are hurting and broken and desperate, whether they are half there emotionally, half there spiritually, or half there physically, what happens when we miss that opportunity? And we can look at this. Again, go back to verse 33. It says this, but a Samaritan who was on a journey. Listen, the man was busy, folks. He had an agenda. He was going somewhere. We can't just say, oh, he was just lollygagging around looking for someone to heal. I mean, it wasn't, that's not the case. He was on a journey. He had an agenda, so much so that he did what he, everything that he could, and he had to get back on that journey because it was such a serious agenda. You've got to understand this. He's not just skipping along. Oh, what a beautiful day. Let's just, I got nothing to do today. Oh, look, someone's hurting and broken. I got all day to help this guy. That's not the case. He had an agenda. He had a plan. He was going somewhere on purpose, and he came across this one. Again, this is Jesus' story. Greatest storyteller to make a serious point. And this is one, and a Samaritan, who would look at the one. He is the one who quite possibly should have felt no compassion. He is the one quite possibly should have looked at the guy and said, good. You look, to me, you look great like that. But no, he looked. The Bible says that he felt compassion. And this word compassion, it means he felt sympathy. Again, when you understand the depth of the word compassion and sympathy, it means he felt what he felt. When's the last time you, seriously, man, you saw somebody who was so hurting and so broken and so messed up that you actually felt for them? You feel what they feel. You come to that place of as broken as they are, you come to that place to hurt for them and to break for them and to feel for them. And having that sympathy that you feel what they feel, you can put yourself in their shoes and sense that place of brokenness. That's the depth of this, folks. This is where he's at. He came to a place and saw this man stripped, robbed, and laid for half dead, bleeding and broken. And the Bible says that he had such sympathy and compassion for him that he could feel this man's hurt and pain. So seriously, man, where are we in this? Where do we come to a place in this story? Do we hurt for people who are broken? Do we hurt for people who are not like us? Do we hurt for people that may even call us the enemy? Listen, the man laying on the ground looked at the Samaritan and says, listen, we are enemy. Did you miss the memo? We don't like each other. You are like disgusting to me. Matter of fact, I'm not even supposed to touch you or I will be unclean. Listen, when you understand strict Jews, they weren't even allowed to go in a Samaritan home or they would be considered unclean just by walking in their home. That's how serious, and Jesus makes this point. The Samaritan goes to him with such a sense and a heart of compassion that he began to feel his brokenness. But then you come to a place that he did so much more than just feel compassion. We can walk by somebody, man, I feel sorry for them. Man, that really breaks my heart. I'm sorry for you. And then we just keep going. Or we come to a place to understand what it is to act on that compassion. And amazing that Jesus came to a place to act on his compassion for mankind. That God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. So many times we see God's compassion. Jesus had compassion. Jesus had compassion. Jesus had compassion. And it compelled him, folks. It drove him to do something. God's compassion for you and I drove him to put his Son on a cross for us. There's action attached to compassion, folks. It's not just, yeah, I feel bad for you, man. That's just too bad, man. I hope things get better. But where is the action to our compassion? Where is us going that extra step? When we understand, man, we belong to one who showed us and gave us the greatest example of one. Listen, when you understand sin and it separates us from God, when you understand that God set everything up in the garden even to walk perfect in absolute perfect relationship with him and mankind blew it, his creation totally wrecked that. And yet, in God's holiness, he could have said, the heck with you, I'm done with you, I can't believe you did that, fend for yourselves. And every one of us would have been damned for an eternity. But had it not been for God's grace, had it not been for His compassion, had it not been for His understanding of His love for mankind, that which He created, man, then He sends Jesus Christ to a cross to pay for the sins of the world so that we can be reconciled and back in place with Him. And gang, when you understand that's what God did for me, and I'm supposed to be like Him, where is my compassion? Where's my action for those who are always around me, folks? If we would honestly pay attention, if we would come to a place to pay attention to so many who are broken, so many people who are around us day after day, so many people maybe on our streets, so many people maybe that we work with, so many people maybe even in our own families, maybe people in our own homes that are so broken, that are so hurting, that are so desperate. For those who have no hope, folks, do we walk away from them like the priest and the Levite? Or do we walk towards them like the Samaritan? See, it's one direction or the other. It's really that simple. Honestly, this is very simple story that has great depth to it. Because you're either walking away from those people and you miss that amazing opportunity, or you're walking toward them. I want you to see this, please. Folks, you got to understand something. When you walk towards them, it's going to cost you something. When you extend compassion, and you're saying, listen, whatever it takes. What did it cost God to extend His compassion and His grace and His mercy towards us? It cost Him His Son. It cost Him something. What did it cost Jesus Christ, our King, our Lord, our Master, and our Savior? It cost Him His life, folks. You can't just zip through this parable and think, oh, I can show compassion. No, it will. What did it cost? It cost this one who had an agenda. He had a plan. He had to rethink, man. He had to put his personal agenda aside. He had to put his plans aside that he had. It cost him time, folks. And it cost him money. And I don't see anywhere in here where he looked at the Samaritan and said, man, I'm going to spot you 2 denarii. When you get better and you're able to go back to work when your bones heal, I expect that back. That's just not here. It cost him time. It cost him things that are at times most valuable to us, time and money, folks. Time and money at times can be two of the most important qualities at times. What did it cost him? Time and money. Look at this. Verse 34, he came to him, bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil on them, put them on his own beast or his horse or his donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. And whatever more you spend when I return, I will repay you. Now, I love this. Verse 36, this is amazing. Please highlight this. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor? And in amazing, you go right back to the question, verse 29, wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus ends this thing to say, well, who proved to be neighborly? Folks, I honestly believe we need to stop looking for our neighbor and we just need to be neighborly. Because one of the points, one of the top points of this parable is what it is to walk in kindness. He didn't say, well, he was. He said, listen, which one out of the three proved to be the neighbor? What we look at this story and say, the Good Samaritan, and we look at this story and say, well, the neighbor is the one who's always hurting and broken. I mean, that would be easy. He says, well, who is my neighbor? And he goes in this story about the one who's hurting and broken. But Jesus ends this with saying, well, which one proved to be the neighbor? Which one proved to be neighborly, folks? So many times we're just saying, well, who's my neighbor that I can go be kind to? And Jesus says, who's actually going to prove to be a neighbor to anyone who needs a neighbor? Please hear that. We are called to be a neighbor to anyone who needs a neighbor. That doesn't mean, you know, 103 and 105 on the same street are neighbors. When we look at this and what Jesus is saying, you come to a place and say, listen, anyone can be my neighbor. It's up to me to be the neighbor to those who need a neighbor at the time they need one, who's called, that understands that opportunity, who's looking for that opportunity. And it's in front of us over and over and over, folks, for those who are hurting and broken. It's right there. And we make a decision. Walk away from them. Oh man, I hope you feel better. I will pray for you. God bless. Or do we actually put aside our agenda and allow God to work through us in such a miraculous, incredible, amazing way to prove to be a neighbor to that person that's in front of us in that exact moment? Who needs a neighbor? And I love this. Verse 37. And he said, the one who showed mercy towards him. The one who showed mercy towards him. And that, folks, is a depth of kindness. The word showed mercy, that's active mercy. There's a depth to it. There is a kindness that has a depth to this word. And then Jesus, our Lord, our Master, our King, and our Savior, says these simple, simple words. He says, go and do the same. Go and do the same. Folks, you and I are called to carry the burdens of one another. Galatians 6:2. When you understand this, you and I are called as the church and as individuals to go and do the same. We are called to bear one another's burden. Therefore, what? Fulfilling what? The law of Christ. What's the law? Jesus says it. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And in this you have fulfilled everything. That's what he says. So how is it that we fulfill the full law of Christ as we bear one another's burdens? We take it upon ourselves to carry it for each other. That's what this is talking about. And when you understand this, folks, I believe this, man, that it's time that we begin to look at the people in our lives and we begin to look at those who may be a stranger in that exact moment. This parable doesn't set up best friends. This parable sets up two complete, total strangers. And one walked toward. And then we see God show up through compassion and through mercy. And Jesus tells you and I through this story, go and do the same. Come on, let's bow our heads, please. Folks, where are we in this? Where are we in this story? Do we come to a place at times to be selfish and heartless? Do we come to a place to see someone in such a desperate place? Man, I think so many times the enemy can talk us right out of it. Oh, they don't want to hear it. Man, you go over there, they're going to reject you. Someone else is right behind you, they'll take care of it. Honestly, how many times can we convince ourselves that someone else will take care of it? How many times can we convince ourselves that, man, they're not going to want to hear from me? How many times can we convince ourselves just to keep walking? And man, we can come up with some pretty good excuses. Are we going to look at what Jesus says here? Go and do the same. Are we going to be like that Samaritan who went over this stranger who was his enemy? And went out of his way, acted on compassion, acted on mercy, took time and money to do anything he could to get this person back to a place of health. So where are we in this? Do we go towards? Do we look for those opportunities? Do we shut our eyes and just keep going because we're so busy? Now, if there's anyone in this place that you have just, you see yourself in this story and you're not the priest, you're not the Levite, and you're not the Samaritan. but you're that one that's laying half dead on the road. What if you're half there spiritually? And you're so broken emotionally. And man, you're devastated at times, even physically. Who's going to help you? And I ask that we as a church would be very aware of the people in our own world right here in this church. There'll be visitors who come in because they're broken and they need an uptick. They need something. And they reach to the church for it. Are we going to be that one for them? God, I just pray if there are any in this place today, visitors or people who've been a part of this church, call this place home. God, that we would surround, encourage, build, speak life to, carry the burdens of God, that we would take it upon our own shoulders to lift the burden off of theirs. God, that you would allow us, God, to be before these people. God, open our eyes to see the opportunities that you give us as a church. God, if there are those in this place this morning, Father, we just ask that, God, we would be the church to reach to them, to go towards them, to encourage them, to build them, God. That they find themselves in a place, God, of healing. God, that they would be set free. God, that they'd be built up to a place to be strong in you again. God, they'd be built up to a place to be strong emotionally again. God, they would begin to see their health begin to turn and come to a place that they are strong physically, God. God, let us be that people. God, let us be that Samaritan-like. To even reach to those who we would look at and say, you're supposed to be my enemy. That they would look at us and say, you're not supposed to do this for me. Let us be those ones, God, that walk toward those who are broken. Those who have such heavy burdens, God. Always remembering, Jesus, what you did for us. That we would function in a place today to care for people around us, God. Jesus, please. God, I pray for those who are broken in this place, God, that they would be built up. That, God, they would be encouraged. That, Father, you would speak to them today. God, that we would surround them today. We'd identify them quickly, God. And surround them and walk towards them. It's all we can do, God, is walk towards them and offer to encourage and build, speak life, and act on mercy. Father, as a church, we ask that you would break our hearts with that which we see in those who are so broken. God, that we would have that depth of compassion to feel the brokenness and the hurts of the other. And God, that we would come to a place to act on that. That in the name of Jesus, lives would be refreshed. In the name of Jesus, lives would turn. Marriages would turn. Hearts would turn. God, people would come to you, Father. That, God, we would see a harvest in this place from those who are broken because, God, we've extended ourselves. Because, God, we've walked towards people. God, please. God, draw in people that will turn their lives to you. That will come to a place to repent, come to a place to believe in the gospel, come to a place to surrender their lives to you. And in that, Father, find new life. All things become new. God, in that would find incredible healing, Father. God, because we step forward, because we step toward. God, let us be a church with action to our mercy. To reach as many people as we can reach. I want to do something, man. If you are in this place and you're like, man, I want to see the opportunities. Maybe I've just gone in my business. I've gone on my way. But this week, God, that I would see, I would pay attention, God. I see those opportunities. Man, if that's you this week, then you're like, I want to be that Samaritan. That's who I want to be. I want to go and do the same. I want my eyes open to see the opportunity. I'm going to be looking this week. Put your hand in the air, please. Come on, put your hand in the air. Say, I'm going to be that person. I'm going to do the same. God, please give us that opportunity. God, open our eyes to see this week those who are hurting and broken. God, help us to be those people. People all around us, God. Open our eyes to the opportunity. God, give us the courage at times. Give us the strength at times. Give us the love that it takes at times. God, give us the compassion at times that it takes to step toward them, God. With a heart that hurts, with a heart that is broken for those. God, please open our eyes to the opportunities. Father, I believe they're all around us. Help us to see them this week. That we may act on them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, folks. Come on, we give God thanks this morning, please. Hallelujah. Amen.